Now, okay, we'll go to verse number 8. Kriyarupa pratiyeta. Rupa pratiyeta. Tathapi na kriyavidhihi. Tathapi na kriyavidhihi. Samyamena hyupadhinam. Lupta santi cha tat kriyaha. Kriya rupe pratiyeta. So even though meditation appears like an activity, okay, I sit down and then I hold my, relax my body, then I watch my breath, then I chant Om, and then I, you know, go inward. So it seems like I am doing, I am sitting for meditation. And people say, I am meditating. Don't disturb me now. You know, next 30 minutes, I am meditating. So we think of it as an activity, but actually it is not. It is the cessation of all activities. It is the end of all activities. It is the quietening of all the activities of the body, the mind, and the intellect. How? Samyamena, by the control of the upadhis. Upadhis are the equipments. So I have all the equipments at the body. I have the sense organs, you know, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. I have the organs of action, hands, feet, speech, genital organs, excretory organs. The mind is another equipment I have. The mind is constantly thinking about emotions, you know, joy and sorrow, and I love this person and I hate this person. And why does this person do this to me? Why? Mind is all the time. And the intellect is all the time planning. What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do next year? How am I going to become more successful in the company? How can I get a promotion so I can become vice president? And how can I cut the throat of this guy, you know, who's my, you know, trying to compete with me so that I put him down and I become more successful? How I can increase my sales? And, you know, so the intellect is all the time planning, the mind is thinking, and the body, of course, either is seeing, hearing, smelling, walking, talking. So the idea is to quieten them and quieten the activities of the body, mind, and intellect. Why? Because the body, mind, and intellect are all extrovert. BMI is extrovert, or the body, mind, and intellect are extrovert if you split it up. Why? As I said, the eyes, I always want to see, you know, the neighbor's car is leaving early. Why is he going early to work? You know, where is he going? Or I'm listening to something and two people are talking. What are they talking about? Especially if it's some juicy gossip, you know, about the... Or they whisper. Or if somebody in the office is having an affair with somebody and two people are talking, we have full attention in that. If you tell them to memorize, you know, memorize some verses from the Gita or from the Bible, I can't remember. But if somebody tells me gossip for 40 minutes on the phone, I can repeat everything 100% to the next person, the whole 40 minutes. But you ask them to memorize something from the scripture, it's too hard. You know, Sanskrit, I can't. Or Greek or Latin, it's too tough. I can't. So the body and the mind, and the, always we are looking outside. The mind is always looking for joys outside. You know, by getting this food, I'll get happy. Or this person, I'll get happy. Or this position, I'll get happy. And if I don't get this, I'll be unhappy. I'll be miserable. So the body is looking for joys outside, you know, in food and sense pleasures, you know, all the different pleasures of the senses. And the mind is looking for joy. And then running away from sorrow. So my whole life is spent in running towards happy, running away from unhappy, happy, unhappy, happy, unhappy. One day I'm somebody praises me and I'm in the sky, and then somebody criticizes me, I'm down in the dumps. And then the, as an intellect, we said, is always planning and thinking. And I mean, I'm not saying that it is wrong to plan or think. But the point is that we are so constantly engaged in utilizing our equipment that we have no time to rest. So the question is how to stop them. How to stop them? Because that has never been taught to us. is, as I said, from childhood we have been taught that to do is very good, to accomplish is a lot, you have to work, you have to be successful, you have to. And so, especially the world now is becoming so much more complex, so much more complicated, that the moment something happens, you know, even somebody shot in somewhere in Africa or in Paris, within a few seconds, all over the world with the internet. So everybody's on the internet, everybody's on the news. And, you know, these events in France, people were following every detail of that as it was happening live. So I'm not saying that one should not keep up with the news. But what happens is that, as I said, we don't have time to see what are the important things in life. And in that process, we forget things like family. I am so busy with work, I don't have time for my children. I don't have time for my spouse. I don't have time to sit down and read some good books. You tell them to get up and meditate. You say, oh, I don't have time to meditate. 20 minutes? In 20 minutes, I could do so much, you know, or half an hour, I could accomplish so much. So from childhood, we have been taught and encouraged to do, to achieve, to conquer, to get it. So that is what they're saying, that the body and the mind have never been taught. And so what they do in meditation is they give us certain instructions. And through those instructions, when you follow, you reach to a state of doing nothing. So you start out by doing this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then that's what we'll do next week in verse number 9, is that how the sages, the ancient rishis, were very, very intelligent. They understood that man needs instructions. You know, they say, I need a book of instructions. You know, meditation, I need meditation steps. That's why we also give you meditation steps, 7 steps, 9 steps. Because we all love that. You know, I have a step, okay, from 1, I go to 2, then I go to 3, then I go to 4. From A, I go to B. And we love that. And we have love lists. You know, even when we go shopping, I must have a list. When everywhere we love to have lists. So similarly, for meditation, they say, give me a list of things to do. How can I do this so I can meditate? So that is what the sages have done, and that's what we also do, that give you a list of things to do. But in the process of doing those, you end up not doing anything. So even though it appears as action, it leads to actionlessness. Even though I think I am doing something, the sages fool us into thinking that we are doing it, but actually they make us do nothing. So that is the essence of today's talk, that through meditation, from action, we go to actionlessness. From doing, we go to non-doing. From activity, we go to silence. And in that silence, then your mind can focus. Because as long as you are, like, you know, you are doing so many things, and then you say, I'm trying to meditate, whole day you have been overworked, overactive. And then in the morning you sit and your mind is racing. Why? Because the whole day you have raced your mind 100 miles an hour. Even before going to bed, you're watching the TV. In fact, they say that, I was reading somewhere that, I don't know if I told it in this class, or that children who watch the screen of the phone or the iPad or the iPod or whatever, if they watch it for an hour before they go to sleep, it disturbs their sleep. Because the light and the images and the activity actually disturbs the mind. And we do this all day. We are all the time on the phone. So that's why they say, before you go to bed, at least for an half an hour or an hour, don't watch TV, don't, you know, use the phone, don't use the computer, but just pick up a good book and read, or just listen to some good verses or some good talks, you know, on the internet, or you can buy CDs, you know, listen to good talks by speakers. Read some good books, so that your mind, or chant the name of the Lord, so that at least for half an hour or an hour before you go to bed, you just, as you know, when you're racing very fast, you have to slow down, right? Otherwise, you know, like in a race also, if they're running and then suddenly, you know, when he wins the race, 100 meters, 100 yards, he's dash, he's running, then he doesn't stop suddenly, you know, he keeps going for a while, and slowly he, because if he stops suddenly, he will injure his muscle. Even though he has won the race, he will run another 10, 20 yards, so that then he will slowly slow down. and then he will stop, and then he will come and get the gold medal, and everybody will praise him. So similarly, our mind, which has been racing 100 miles an hour throughout the day, needs some time to unwind. So you take aside some time every day, half an hour, 1 hour, where I'm going to sit down and just think about the Lord, think about the self, do nothing but be with the Lord. So you can do it through reading good books, listening to good tapes or CDs, or just lie down and just chant the name of the Lord, or, you know, sit in the backyard. It's a little cool now, but once the weather improves, even at night, you can sit and enjoy the breeze and enjoy the moon or enjoy the trees, the sound of the trees. So slowly unwind. So what will happen is, once your mind is quiet, then your sleep will be very pleasant. And that's what I try to do, at least when I can, as much as possible. When I lie down, I have told before also, I consciously relax the body from head to toe. And then I observe the breath. Then I start watching the breath. And as I watch the breath, I chant my mantra, the name of the Lord. And so the last thought, as much as possible, should be the name of the Lord. So as you relax your body and observe your breath and chant the mantra, your mind becomes very quiet, so your sleep is also more peaceful. And then when you wake up in the morning, do not get out of bed without chanting the name of the Lord. Whatever your mantra is, whatever the Lord that you worship, think about the Lord, chant his name, or remember that. It could be Jesus, could be, you know, Krishna, Shiva, doesn't matter what form. But think of the Lord, chant his name before you get out of bed. So the first thought in your morning should be of God, and the last thought should be of God. Then and then alone your mind will be quiet and peaceful. So that is what they're saying. Slowly slow down the mind, and then your sleep will be much better. So these are just a few practical tips. So how to quieten the mind. Now next week we'll talk, it's a very important verse, which will tell us that how in meditation through doing we reach to non-doing. It's kind of one of the important, the fifth verse I've told you was very important, fifth verse, because it tells who I am, and the ninth verse, because through meditation, how from action, I go to actionlessness. So we'll talk about that next week. Any questions or comments?
That is
not. No, that's okay. Yeah, if you see colors or hear sounds, it's okay. Actually, in fact, they say that if you see colors or if you hear sounds, there is one school of meditation that actually looks for sounds and colors. We don't recommend that, to look for it. But if it happens, that's fine. Let it happen. But that's not the final. Yeah. If you see, it's okay. Let it come. There's nothing wrong with it. But again, turn your attention to who is watching the colors or who is listening to the sound. That is me. And who am I? You know, so turn your attention. But that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. If some colors appear. Actually, they say blue color, if you see, that's very good. Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that. Or the thoughts come, you mean, or the colors?
I mean, after a while, I see, and then whatever.
Yeah, it's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Just say, okay, it appeared. That's fine. Just watch it. And in fact, I don't think it's bad. Actually, it's actually good. So it's not an obstacle. Because, like I told you, there's one particular school of meditation. They teach them to watch for colors and then to listen to sounds. You can hear bells and, you know, I don't know. Because then your attention is on the sound, and your attention should be on the self. So pay attention to who is watching the color. Instead of focusing on the color, yeah, okay, it's blue, violet, that's fine, nothing wrong with it. But who knows the color? And that is me. And then who am I? And then immediately turn your attention inward. Yeah, but that's good. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good question. Thank you. Because people do have these kind of experiences. Or sometimes you may have other strange experiences too, you know, and you might say, you know, what happened? Is that normal or abnormal? The other thing is, even if it's a very pleasant experience, don't try to reproduce that. Say, one day I got a very pleasant experience, and then God appeared before me and Jesus came down, and I saw him in my meditation. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But don't try to duplicate. Now tomorrow again Jesus should come. Or, you know, all that is signs that you are progressing, that your mind is quiet. But if you try to look for something, then again you are searching, or you are looking outside. ultimately you have to go within. Whatever you are seeing outside, whether it is Jesus or whether it is the devil or whether it is my brother-in-law, you know, the point is that they are all outside. Ultimately, you have to look for it within. And my brother-in-law is fine. I just made jokes. Nothing wrong with him. But it's always a funny topic. But anyway, so it is still outside. Yeah, but it's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Even pleasant experiences, don't look to reproduce them. Because they will happen. Sometimes you will have pleasant. Sometimes you may have very unpleasant experiences. You may get scared. Especially as your vasanas, your old hidden vasanas emerge. You have some fears or some tendencies. As your mind becomes quiet, all these old tendencies manifest. And sometimes people even have fearful experiences. Even let that not even be a problem. Okay, that's fine. It happened, it's okay. But that's not me. Who knew the fearful experience? I did. And who am I? Then turn your attention to who you are. So it's okay. You know, good and bad experiences, they are all in the mind. Is the mind playing tricks on me? Sometimes giving me pleasant experiences, sometimes giving me unpleasant experiences. But it's my mind playing tricks, but I don't have to get caught up in that.
But now I start my new method.
No, that's good. Invoking a higher power to help you is always good, especially if your mind is racing. You say, Lord, I can't do it, or Guru, I can't do it, or Jesus, I can't do it. You need to help me. So invoking the higher power is very good because we are basically limited individuals. See, we don't have that same capability as these realized masters, whether it's, you know, Shankaracharya or Jesus or Buddha or Guru Nanak. So I am limited, so I need help. And so getting help from a higher power is very good. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, whatever way, whatever works for you, it's good. But yeah, invoking his power, invoking the Guru is good. Nothing wrong with that. Right. Or just, yeah, that's what I also do. Sometimes if I wake up in the middle of the night, have trouble sleeping, then I just do my chant, my mantras. Yeah. Keep chanting the mantras and relax the body. And then eventually, you know, you fall. And even if you don't fall asleep for an hour or so, sometimes I say, that's very good. So I'm remembering the Lord. What's wrong with that? Even if I, instead of saying, oh, I can't sleep. I couldn't sleep for an hour, but I spent that hour in remembering the Lord and chanting his mantras. That's wonderful. What's nothing wrong with that? So you didn't sleep for an hour, so what? That's so much better because I could chant his name. I could remember him. So, yeah, so that's good. Yeah. So instead of, because the more you stress about it, the more you can't sleep. But if you say, it's okay, I can't sleep, but I'm remembering him, that's wonderful. And so I just keep repeating my mantras and, you know, hold it. Anything else? Yeah.
What
is so? Soham means that I am. That I am. I am that. Means I am that conscious. Because right now we think of this as the world and God is that. That God. You know, who is that is somebody far away. But that God is not far away, but is within me as consciousness, as life. So that consciousness I am. And we are all are that. Actually, you know, they say that first God alone was, right? There was nothing else. So when he created the world, he had to create it out of himself. He himself became the five elements. He himself became space, earth, air, fire, water. He himself became all the men, women, children, animals, birds, plants. So everything came from him. So actually all of us are nothing but him. But we, not knowing that, we think of God as being somewhere up in heaven, above the clouds or in the church or temple, but we don't find him within our heart. But actually, all of us are nothing but that one divinity. So this just reminds me of that. So Soham is a very good mantra. If you want to chant that Soham. Actually, Diana, she does that. Diana Gordon. She's not here today. No, that was Mrs. Patel. That's not my wife. Yeah, okay. Nana Patel.
She used that. And then I know in yoga.
Yeah. Right. Soham. So, I am that. So means that. Saha means that. Aham means I am.
Okay.
So that I am. So that means I am that consciousness. So if you want to use that, you can use Om or you can use Soham. It, you know, whatever it is, you pick one mantra that you like and then just chant that again and again and do it slowly and with attention. So yeah, and that's a very good mantra. Sorry. Thank you. So that is a good mantra to to contemplate upon, that consciousness I am, that consciousness.
Like me, when I meditate, I want it quiet. But is it possible to meditate when it's noisy also, once you learn how to meditate?
Yeah, these advanced meditators can meditate anywhere. You know, even while walking, they can meditate. And they have walking meditation, they have, you know, all that. But generally, I find for me also, to be in a noisy place, it's hard to meditate. I think it's better to be in a quiet place. Yeah, but I mean, an advanced meditator, while walking, he might see a bird flying or a flower and he could go into meditation. That's different. And then there is also a walking meditation where you watch your step and then you meditate on each step. In fact, there is they teach that here also in one place. Or there's eating meditation where you pay attention to each mindfulness of eating and all. But the traditional meditation is done in a quiet place, at a quiet time, early morning, where the phones are not ringing. And so, yeah, generally that's better. Because then otherwise, if you're hearing sounds and noises and traffic and all, it's very difficult to quieten the mind. Though with practice, you can do that. Like, say, if you get up, if you're in a hotel room, you know, and you get up in the morning and you have to meditate in the morning, then the maids may be outside or the traffic may be there. But if you have done the practice, you can still ignore all the sounds and go inward.
Yeah. That would take a long time, years of meditation.
Right. Yeah. But you know, suppose I'm in a hotel room and I have to meditate, so you do it and you hear the sound, you ignore it. Don't chase after it. Who is the sound? Who is that? Why is that? Let it be, but I am, at this moment, I want to go inward. Yeah. But you're right, in a noisy place, it's more difficult. That's why we recommend a quiet time and a quiet place. That's why early morning, when the traffic is not there, phone is not ringing, you know, all that. And also we say in meditation, you shouldn't, though having a mantra, listening is okay. You know, some people like to listen to the sound of the mantra or the waves to quieten the mind. But like incense, I don't recommend, because then you're smelling that and your senses are going out. I don't have coffee brewing. You know, so things like that. So avoid sensory stimuli as much as possible. That's why we say close the eyes, because if your eyes are open, then you're looking outside. If the sound's outside, so avoid as much as possible sensory stimulation.